Good morning, friends. Welcome to our service this morning on this second Sunday of Advent. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. We will begin with the lighting of our Advent candle. And to do so, we will begin by singing together the prayer for Advent, followed by the lighting of the candle itself, and then a singing again of the words of the Advent prayer. The poet Wendell Berry wrote, "When despair for the world grows in me, I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water." We think of the 23rd Psalm. "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." When everything feels hopeless, when we feel as dead as the dry bones of Ezekiel's valley, God calls us away from the workaday world. God calls us to breathe in the holy breath of peace. When we light the candle of peace, we breathe in the one who restores us. And together we say, whatever we face in life, God's spirit of peace will dwell within us. Our service will continue as we continue to stand together and sing together our opening hymn. It is that one. It says communion. O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Praying together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we continue to pray our collect for the day, praying, Almighty God, who sent your servant John the Baptist to prepare your people to welcome the Messiah, inspire us, the ministers and stewards of your truth, to turn our disobedient hearts to you, that when the Christ shall come again to be our judge, we may stand with confidence before his glory, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite us to sit together now to hear the word of God.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of a field. The grass withers, the flowers fade. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice of strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 85. Verses 1, 2, 8 to 13. Reading alternately by half verse. You have been gracious to your Lord, to your land, O Lord. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying. Truly his salvation is very near to those who fear him. Mercy and truth have met together. Truth shall spring up from the earth. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity. Righteousness shall go before him. Together we say, God of grace, you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son to be our Savior. Help us to rejoice in our salvation by showing mercy and truth, and by walking in the way of righteousness and peace. We ask this in his name and for his sake. Amen. Our second reading is from the second letter of Peter. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come in repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord.
Our gradual hymn this morning, or hymn which precedes our gospel, is Comfort, Comfort Ye My People. We will sing the first two verses before the gospel and the third following the gospel.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of Christ. May only the truth be spoken. May only the truth be heard. Amen. So you see in front of you this morning the invitation of how to be a town crier. And I will get to that shortly. Bear with me. Here we are, the second Sunday of Advent already. And I'm going to refer back to the first reading for a moment or two and then come back again to the gospel. As I reflected on the readings this morning, I was struck anew with the knowing that although it is not mentioned directly in Scripture, the historical commentators tell us that about 150 years had passed between the end of the 39th chapter of Isaiah and the beginning of the 40th chapter, which we read this morning. Scripture does tell us, if we look closely at the words, that as a result of continuing to not follow God, the people of Israel had lost their land, were carried off into exile, and then God went silent and remained silent for more than a century and a half. When God finally breaks silence in the first two verses of chapter 40 of Isaiah, God speaks through Isaiah, who does so with gentle words and a confident, positive tone, offering comfort, forgiveness, and hope. Isaiah is told to speak tenderly to God's people, and does so, choosing imagery such as God tending his flock like a shepherd gathering his lambs in his arms, carrying them close to his heart, gently leading those who have young. If we move forward in time then to the Gospel of Mark, we hear another whom God speaks through. In this case, it is John the Baptizer. Interestingly, unlike the other Gospels, Mark does not begin with a mother or a family, a manger, or even in Bethlehem. This Gospel begins with a voice proclaiming that God, again having seemingly been silent for some time, is now contacting God's people once again. Echoing the voice of Isaiah from so much earlier, this time John has been sent as a messenger, and confidently and clearly himself then offers words of comfort, forgiveness, and hope, choosing the imagery that it is time to get ready through a change of heart, a change in lifestyle, a change in life orientation or focus, as while he baptizes with water, the greater one to come will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting how both messengers of God, Isaiah in ancient times and John 2,000 years ago, were both recorded in Scripture, and their messages were taken seriously at that time, and they've continued to be considered and counted even on to us today. What was it about these two that ensured the initial and then continuing attention to their important message, giving one of comfort, forgiveness, and hope? Why did their messages stick, if you will? Well, we could explore different types of messengers and emissaries and envoys over the centuries through to the present day in considering that question. And that's when I found myself thinking about town criers. Every family has its characters, and in my clan, we had an actual modern-day town crier. Most of us will not remember or may not have lived in communities where a town crier was the well-respected primary or even only way of hearing the important news affecting one's community. But many of us have probably seen or heard town criers present in historical reenactments, leading parades, or as part of the landscape of villages, towns, or even cities, especially during the tourist season, quietly but cheerfully offering their voices in the town square about what is significant, so needs to be known about the town itself, and the people in it. Well, just so you know, there continues to be international gatherings of town criers and competitions among them to pick the best of the best. There's sessions and workshops at such events, offering mentoring devoted to honing the craft of the crier. Having attended such gatherings, in summarizing what I have gleaned as making a good town crier, I would say that a good crier is one who is pleasant, even joyful, passionate, even confident and committed to the message, one who speaks with conviction and from the heart, one who brings alive in a positive way what or for whom the crier speaks. We hear such characteristics in Isaiah and John the Baptist. And while none of us would see ourselves as having their gifts, God does call on us as well to spread the word about the coming of the incarnate Christ to those who don't know Christ. And perhaps even more so, to those around us who have simply drifted away over time from Christ as being a priority in their lives, or have dropped Christ in anger, hurt, or pain when it seemed God had abandoned them or wasn't real after all. These are often our loved ones, family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, or perhaps it is even ourselves who need reminding of God's continuing work in the world, God's continuing presence among us, giving hope and peace, joy and love, offering forgiveness and reconciliation still. And shown again, especially now in this season, in the preparing for the baby Jesus, the incarnate Christ at Christmas. So how do we accept that invitation? How do we become like town criers, offering this message of God's forgiveness and hope and peace and love to others, to ourselves? I think we do so by simply recognizing ourselves as being authentic proclaimers of the good news, and by recognizing that God is present and is making a difference in our own lives, and by recognizing we too can offer our words in our own voices of the one who is to come. Just as the town crier comes in quite a range and variety of size and age and circumstances and wisdom and ability, we too are quite diverse. Though what we have in common is the love of Christ, the hope of salvation, and the knowing that God desires even us to be his disciples in the world. And that is all we need to be good criers for God in the here and now. Amen. As you are able, I invite you to stand with me now as we confess our faith, as we say, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite us to once again resume a posture of prayer for the prayers of the people.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we wait with hope and anticipation for the coming of our Lord, we ask for peace and mercy for ourselves and for the world. We pray for the church that during this time of Advent, it will help everyone to prepare spiritually for the coming of our Savior. This morning, we pray especially for the parishes of Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, the Reverend Dr. Brian Spence, and Lance, Nova Scotia, the Reverend Canon David Fletcher and Kathy, with Christ Church, Lance, and St. George's Dutch Settlement in our cycle of prayer. We pray also for our bishop, Sandra Fife, as she begins her new ministry. In our parish family, we pray for Evelyn Bruce, Lavinia Dyson Burkhardt and Tom Burkhardt, Grant and Megan Cadu, Chad, Natasha, Samuel, and Jacob Cairns, John and Jane Kalpin, Dave, Betty, Marie and Matthew Cameron, David and Ann Carver, and Richard Chukowski. Lord, hear too our prayer for those rough places in our lives and the lives of others, and those whom we remember in our hearts who have died and gone before us, especially today thinking of the family of Doug Simone. Fill the valleys with your light. Level the uneven paths with your grace. And grant that your Spirit might so move us and others that your saving presence might be visible to all. Lord, on this Sunday of preparation, this Sunday which celebrates your peace, help there to be peace in our lives and peace in our churches and peace in our world. Gracious God, help us to meet you as you come to us. Help us to prepare your way in our lives and to announce your coming in love to others. We ask all these things in the name of the one John pointed to, Christ Jesus, your living word. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites us to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you wish to stand once again, and while maintaining our distance from each other physically, we will offer through our warmth and our hearts, the peace of God be always with you. In remembering all that we do for God in so many different ways, our offertory hymn this morning is hymn On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. Praying together the prayer over the gifts. God, our strength, we are nothing without you. Receive all we offer you this day, as you sustain us with your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who in the fullness of time came among us in our flesh and opened to us the way of salvation. Now we watch for the day when he will come again in power and great triumph, to judge this world, that we, without shame or fear, may rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom.
Happy are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In a few moments, we will be standing together to sing the Agnus Dei, followed by the singing of our communion hymn. I invite for those of you that are standing to sing, if you wish to receive the bread, please let us know so. We'll come to you. And if you would prefer this morning for us to pass you by, knowing you are still in full participation of the Eucharist, that's fine too. Just please make some sort of a gesture so we'll know not to offer you the bread.
Thank you.
praying together once again. Let us pray. Faithful God, we thank you for feeding us in this heavenly banquet. Help us always to hear the prophet's call to turn our hearts to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. I'm going to invite you just to remain seated for just a moment. I don't normally offer announcements, but I am going to mention a couple of things. Firstly, in keeping with tradition, I published the banns of marriage between Garrett Roman and Deborah Boone, both of the parish of St. James. If any of you know cause or just impediment why these persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, you are to declare it. Otherwise, the marriage ceremony will be held at 2 p.m. on Sunday, December 20th, here at St. James Church, and all are most welcome to attend. I also want to draw a quick notice to the bulletins or the weekly announcements that have come out this week. If you haven't received them, please pick up a copy at the back. There are a great number of little extras that happen this time of year, both in the sorts of things that we offer our gifts to in terms of fundraising and offerings of support and so on. So do draw your attention to that. It's also a time for some additional celebrations within our church. This year we have been challenged with how to best offer our worship while at the same time staying COVID friendly, or COVID aware and avoiding risk taking. So I do draw your attention that at 7 o'clock this evening there will be a Zoom only service of Evensong. So for any of you that are able and wish to participate in that, you would click on the Bible as you normally would on our webpage, and that will take you to our service. It will be a lovely, traditional, ancient service of Evensong. Bill Travis, our lay minister, will be leading the worship. Jim Williams is our cantor, and the choir will be offering the cantor responses as well as singing the hymns. Next Sunday evening, we will be doing something similar, but it will be a taped Evensong service. We've also made some changes of how we will offer our Christmas Eve services. We are trying to anticipate that we will still be able to be together while at the same time not taking any unnecessary risks and at the same time being able to move to a backup plan should we be advised closer to Christmas that some additional or different conditions have been put in place for us. And on that note, I also draw your attention. I know many of you are strong supporters of the Longest Night concert. So those who did such a great job with our fundraising so far have now been busy putting together the Longest Night service. It also will be a virtual service on Zoom this year, which will mean that you would be able to purchase tickets rather than at the door through either our website or by speaking with Bernice here at the church office. So do keep that in mind as well as we try again to continue our worship, our considerations of the season, and doing so safely. I also want to note that you probably noticed a couple of little fits and starts this morning. Stephen Boone, who's kind of the backbone behind the scene of a lot of our technical stuff, is in hospital right now. He asks us to pray for
for him. He's responding well to the treatment he's receiving. We miss him in all kinds of ways, particularly perhaps in the ministry he offers, the ministry of technology, I think it would be called. I know I've spoken for far too long, but I gotta mention, because he's standing here beside me, that tomorrow happens to be Wayne's birthday. And I heard this morning that he was born the same day as the first bomb dropped?
Pearl Harbor.
So an interesting way of keeping track of one's birthday. But we do, of course, wish all the best to Wayne, who does so much for us all the time, does so quietly, never tells us anything of such importance, but we do note this particular birthday coming up tomorrow for him. Without further ado, I invite us to stand together to sing our closing hymn, followed immediately by Go Now in Peace.